Waiting to order.
We'll start with a flag salute.
The United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so good to have you here, Laura. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Sesenya, Director Cross,
Here.
Director Hubbard, Vice President Fourcroy,
I'm here.
President Womack.
Present. So we're going to do a little shuffling of the agenda, and we are going to do the public safety reports, and then we're going to move up the public comments for items not on the agenda. So I believe we have Sheriff? Or
We
do
have
we have?
CHP on mine
Oh,
right
we have
now.
CHP.
I
So.
wait, I'm sorry. No, we have the sheriff report. Yes.
What do we have the sheriff online?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll start with the sheriff's report because I don't believe we have fire. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for having me again. This is Hank Abbas, commander here at the Sheriff's Coast Station. So with regards to our statistics for reporting period of January 1st through January 31st. Give me just a second here to pull those up. I had them up and I lost them. Go figure.
You weren't expecting to go first.
You snuck almost snuck one past me. I got them pulled up. So for reporting period January 1st to January 31st, we had a total call for service of 479. Of note were 53 enforcement stop, 48 preventive patrol activities, 22 disturbances, and 13 suspicious circumstances calls for service. Of note, we received a call for deputies respond to a call for service at the community center involving some subjects who were allegedly vandalizing. Upon making contact with the subjects, it was determined that the subjects were on supervised release, being supervised by the probation department. A subsequent search based on their probation terms revealed a firearm, and both subjects were subsequently arrested for firearms related, vandalism related, and gang allegation as well. So with that, just letting people know that was triggered by somebody seeing something that looked out of place. In this case, what appeared to be subjects vandalizing, and somebody being heads up and calling the sheriff's office and allowing us to come out and conduct an investigation. So, kind of go back to a mantra that we tell people: if you see something, you got to say something. Deputies are out there conducting preventative patrols, like I noted here in the statistics, but it's the community that in often cases and oftentimes are the eyes and ears of the department. So while we don't recommend that people get involved in that sort of scenario, again, these subjects ended up being armed ultimately. If you see something that seems out of place or seems or appears to be that a crime is being committed, let us know. Be a good witness, which means get good suspect description, good locations, and allow us to come and conduct investigations and ultimately put ourselves in a position to do what it is that we're trained to do, which is protect the community. Another thing that I wanted to bring to light is the sheriff's office has a sheriff's auxiliary volunteer patrol. We refer to them as SAVPs at the sheriff's office. And what the SAVPs are is they're a cadre of members of the community who want to volunteer their time with the sheriff's office. You'll oftentimes see them driving around in black and white patrol vehicle looking vehicles with yellow light bars. Very important to distinguish between a patrol car being operated by a deputy and a citizen volunteer or an SAVP. One of the tasks that they do is they perform vacation checks. So if anybody is planning on being out of town for a weekend or for extended period like a vacation, you can contact the Sheriff's Coast Station and request that a patrol check be conducted or a vacation check be conducted, and they can drive by your residence, make sure that nothing is out of place, If something is out of place, they can get in contact with us, and deputies can go out and conduct further investigation. Another thing that SAVPs do is they, you know, are just generally out and about and act as eyes and ears and additional resource for the sheriff's office to alert us of anything that might be going on. So again, just want to let people know that that is a group that we have that are active here out of the substation in Los Osos. And it's a service that they provide to you all. And I got nothing else unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the board?
Thank you for that report and the explanation about what was going on at the community center. That's helpful.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you all.
Okay. CHP fell off, so they're not online anymore.
Oh, maybe we'll loop back on if they come back. But so we will do public comments for items not on the agenda.
Can we do public comment on the safety report
first?
All
right, let's do public comment on the safety report. Thank you.
If you're online, please raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There's not online.
Do we have anyone online? Oh, good. Okay, public comments for items not on the agenda.
If you're online and you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium.
Richard Margaretson. The final results are in for needs and wishes. Some of you have heard them. 72,153.82. Beat last year by $11,000. But Chuck, you're not supposed to tell Biz that yet because she doesn't know the number yet. So I talked to her today. Anyway, we're next year, this coming year is the 20th anniversary of the event. And we are less than $2,500 away from having raised $1 million needs and wishes with no overhead. That has no overhead, which now lets me segue into the other comment is People Helping People has decided to hold a fundraiser in March. It looks like it's going to be March 29th for the purpose of two things. One that I think you'll be really interested in. The first one is new curtains for the stage. They're the original curtains, there's sections that you can pull them taut and you can see through. They've been repaired. They've been stitched. Chuck will tell you they're in pretty bad shape. The other thing is, though, 2 years ago, around this time, we had the flood, whatever you call it, disaster problem. And because the power was out at the community center, we couldn't use that as a staging center or emergency center for the community to use that night. Ron called and we were ready to open it up, but we had no power. So the goal is to do a generator. I know some of you already heard about this. Ron's been getting estimates. We're trying to figure out how to fund this. Half of the proceeds from the event will go towards a new generator or for a generation for the center, and half will go towards curtains. The 29th, it looks like probably 2 to 7. It's a Saturday, March 29th. We're going to have a couple bands, at least a couple bands, silent auction, beer and wine, food. We think it's a good date because it's early in the season before all the events start happening every weekend, and you start getting near Memorial Day, and from then till Thanksgiving, it's nonstop. So we hope it'll draw a crowd, and I think the two causes will bring out a crowd. If you're interested in helping, donating, what we're looking for, because we kind of would like to run this as close.
Go ahead. finish it up.
We'd like to run this as close as we can to needs and wishes. So possibly all proceeds from the event will go to these two activities. If you'd like to donate a bottle of wine value under $10 for the wine sales, don't bring us a really good bottle because you only get four pours and we only charge the same amount for each. But if you need suggestions on good under $10 wine, Chuck has some really good suggestions and we've already been working on that.
Thanks, Richard.
And then any silent auction item you might have, piece of artwork or gift certificate to a restaurant or something. There'll be more details coming, but
all right.
I think Ron is on this too.
There's not online. Want to put
none online.
A word on the emergency generation. It's something we've been contemplating for a couple of years. We're going to move forward with some people helping people donation this fundraiser, and I'll probably be coming back to you for some help as well. We do have some bids in on the costs, and so look forward to that.
So is that like a really serious generator that can
stay It'll on be for a, long time? A natural gas
okay
generator that'll turn on when the power's out, and we feel it's better than gas or diesel or any other type because more reliable.
Okay, good. All right. So yeah.
I was thinking, Mike, you're going to do the general manager's report or you're going to do this one?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you,
get
man.
More than 3 minutes.
You're very kind, man. I mean, you may want to go back and rethink that, but thank you, Madam President, and thank you in particular for arranging your agenda to make it more convenient for me. I'm Bruce Gibson, Second District Supervisor, proud to represent Los Osos, and here tonight to give you a little bit of an update on the matter of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District's interest in selling the Sunnyside school site. Now, I know that's been a topic of great interest to your organization and to the community at large, and it has been a slow process, and there's much more process yet to come. Let me just give you a review. The district on December 17th passed a resolution indicating their interest in surplusing that property and offering it for sale to a public agency under the general heading of Parks and Open Space. That's not completely constraining, but that's the general area that they are interested in. After that, there comes a series of noticings that they have to do, which were completed in mid-January. And so 60 days from the middle of January, sometime in the middle of March, the county has the opportunity to indicate our interest in negotiating the possible acquisition of that property. Our board took this item to closed session this past Tuesday. And it's a little unusual, but I have the formal agreement of my colleagues to give you a little bit of the sense of our discussion over this matter in closed session. And that is that my colleagues agree with me that I should go out and see if we can put together a partnership to make this project happen. They understand well the importance of the site to the community for a whole variety of reasons. They see and understand the potential for other uses, new uses, a future to make that 11-acre site really a centerpiece of the Los Osos community. And with us being in a position now with the Habitat Conservation Program and the update of the Local Coastal Program in place, they understand that there's a real reason to move forward on this. For a variety of reasons, the county is not in a position to do this by themselves. by ourselves. And so I come to you this evening to indicate that my mission now is to work with you and members of the community to put together that partnership that could make this acquisition possible. Our board has until the middle of March to make the formal indication to the school district of our interest in negotiating. We have a couple more meetings between now, one at the end of the month and one in early March. In that time, I'm going to be active in bringing members of the community together, various members of the community led wonderfully by your Los Osos Community Advisory Council and its chair, Deb Howe, have already laid a lot of groundwork. And I know they've been talking to you all for quite some time about these possibilities. I see there's a tremendous benefit to the partnership that would that could be formed, and there are a lot of possibilities. The challenge now is to sort through those possibilities and make them put together an approach that's going to work. We started that today. Vice President Forcroy and Mr. Munns, Ms. Howe, met with our CAO Matt Pontus in our Parks Department. And we started the process. And so I just wanted to let you know that this opportunity is the top of my list and will be until we're successful here. Appearing here in person to make sure you understand my commitment to exploring all options. And when I say partnership, I meant also to emphasize partnership between the county and the CSD, yes, but also a partnership with the community directly. And that's going to be another key to them. So happy to answer any questions that I can at this point. Know that I'm going to be directly engaged in this. If you all have any questions or any members of the public that are interested in participating, I would urge them to contact you or the advisory council or my office. And I look forward to this moving forward.
Chris stepped out, so I guess I'm in. Okay. I'm running. Thanks for a second, but I just wanted to echo a little bit, a partnership in really to make this happen for Los Osos. We're really going to have to work closely together with Bruce's office and county staff for sure. And we'll have more details in that. This is, I think, probably not supposed to discuss it too much right now, but we have the GM report where we can kind of go back and forth. And then there will be some future meetings coming up specifically about this. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting. We're talking about parks. And we're not talking about rates or anything like that right now. We're talking about the really good stuff about the community. So I'm beyond excited about it. So, any other questions for Bruce while he's here?
We'll get into the nuts and bolts maybe later after you debrief us.
We'll get a little deeper.
So, again, I'm sure we'll be in touch, and you all know where to find me. Look forward to working with you.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Yeah, thank you. Thanks,
Bruce. Thank
Have
you.
A great
Thank you.
Okay. So now we'll start with general action items. Approve fiscal year 2024-2025 mid-year budget adjustments.
The real fun stuff. Okay. A lot of numbers. We did have a great conversation with the Finance Advisory Committee on Monday night on this.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep. Tom chaired that meeting.
Doubt it.
You did a great job and good participation. So with that, we've done this for many years now that I've been here, that we organize the report format in a way that we try to answer the big questions. And if you're really into the details, we've been highlighting in the actual budget document, the line item document in yellow. So we printed in color for you guys this time. So you could find the things we actually changed. You know, there'll be a lot of little things that we don't highlight, but we give you the bigger, broader picture and what the outcome is.
I noticed that and I appreciate it.
So let's jump right into it. For Fund 100 administration, all our changes were budget neutral. We did have increases in our personnel cost, mainly from CPI increases to my budget or my salary that we didn't anticipate, that extra little bump you guys gave me. Thank you. We did decrease, you know, service and supplies line items for very little. And then we are recommending that we increase the, it's easier to see it in the summary, our revenue by $2,000 from our investment income. So we can make this budget neutral. The summary tables will be at the end of each fund that we're going over tonight. So this shows you in the categories, in general categories, where we've made the changes. We did have money to play with because of $17,000 that we budgeted for the election, which we didn't have to use. Thank you, Rich and Tom. So anyway, that helped out this budget this year. We had some unanticipated expenditures to buy a new server. That was not anticipated. So that was a large chunk of some of the things we had to move around. Any questions on Fund 100? We're jumping over 200, 400, and 600 because there really are no changes in those. So we'll just continue on in fire. The major requests here are increases in the services and supplies of $12,600. Most of that was in our operating expense general ledger for interior upgrades. Electricity service, we had to do a true up because of the change in our service provider from PG&E. They transmit, but our provider is now Central Coast Community Energy. So in the transition, we had an unexpected cost there. And then in radios and rescue equipment and tools. We were able to decrease our vehicle purchase reserve or budget line item and our infrastructure CIP line item. The command vehicle has now been finished. That's where that money was kind of been sitting, waiting for that project to be done. And we really didn't have any big CIPs, so we reduced that down, left some money in there for anything that might come up. And then we're recommending an increase in our investment income of $70,000. So the overall result of that is a decrease in the budget by about $35,800.
$70,000. I think you said $70,000.
Decrease in the fund operating budget is $35,000. Increase in revenue by $70,000. So that looks like this, where you can see all those numbers more laid out rather than in a paragraph. Any questions on 301?
Any questions?
Up a little higher.
There we go. Thank you. I was wondering, I noticed that one of the expenses would be, again, for the fire station interior upgrades. Now, will that still go through? Because now this relates back to the project at Sunnyside where they're talking about a new fire station. Possibly, I mean, you know, it's not in stone or anything, but will we still do the upgrades regardless of how that shakes out?
Well, these were things like chairs, things that had just are totally worn out. So yes, we'll continue to do the things we have to do until we make a decision on the, you know, where we're going to go with remodel versus new construction for the fire station.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering, if it was had anything to do with remodeling it or anything.
No, like that. It was really just, you know, things that have totally fallen apart and we're in need of replacement.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to water, we did some minor adjustments in some of the line items, and we did have increases in service supply, mainly in our electricity rates, again, similar to fire. Electricity rates have increased, and we are seeing the impacts of those now. We did decrease various service and supply line items to reflect how we felt we were in the mid-year and where we would end up at the end of the year. And additionally, our auditor had suggested we move some coatings of some things we purchased into different line items, but these are budget neutral. But you'll see in those yellow marked areas some movement of monies around, but those were budget neutral. We have quite a bit of shuffling we had to do on the capital outlay. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then also, like with the other funds, we're requesting an increase in the projected investment income. So what that looks like is a fairly small increase in our service supply budget, about $5,500, increase in our capital budget of about $64,000, and the request for an increase in our investment income of about $70,000. To look a little more closely at our capital program, the big one that hit us was the 10th Street interior coating project that we estimated $150,000. It's coming in closer to $400,000. So in order to make this budget neutral on overall with all these changes we just talked about, we're going to request to defer the heavy equipment storage structure up at the Farrell Yard. This one wasn't going to get accomplished this fiscal year anyway because it requires a building permit, and those aren't going to be maybe not even available this year. It depends when the HCP program is up and running. So that one was a pretty easy one. And our one that we seem to defer a lot, and I don't want to keep doing it, but the water yard office phase one, where we're going to look at the investigation on what we can do there to upgrade that facility. We felt this was one that could, it's not needing repairs right now, but we do need to do it eventually, but push that one back. And then finally, down at the bottom there, you'll see our zero emissions vehicle purchase. We need to defer anyway because we can't purchase the type of vehicle that we need. It's not on the market yet. It's a medium duty type of truck. So we'll be investigating how and when we'll be able to kind of move forward with the compliance with the state law mandates on that.
Is it projected to be on the market?
We don't know. Margaret and I spent a lot of time on this earlier this fiscal year, and it was a little frustrating. So those are our recommendations for the capital program. This is, again, the summary table, and I did want to point out that negative $2 million down at the bottom would be covered with funding through a combination of our incoming revenues, which really help as we the flow of the cash flow of these projects, any unassigned cash, which we'll talk about later on the reserves, and then reserves if needed, and that would all be brought back to the board. Any questions on water?
How do you keep going to our crews and saying, we're going to put off your projects another year?
You know, they'll miss the office.
Take pictures for them.
If you haven't been down there, it's quite old. So the only adjustments we're looking at, you know, I guess I have to take back what I said at the very beginning, in Fund 650, which is solid waste, 800 drainage, and 900 parks and rec, are increases in the amount of investment income that we're recommending. So we're being very successful in our investment program. We were very conservative back when we adopted this budget. So this is just kind of adjusting to what we believe we'll get to. Any questions before we move on to the reserve allocations?
Any questions from the board? Okay.
It gets even more fun here.
All right, let's have fun.
More numbers. As you recall, back in December, we did some updates to our reserve policies for Fund 100, 301, 500, and 650. So those are the ones we'll be focusing in on tonight on this. And we used our balance sheet numbers from December 31st, 2024. So you'll see there's been some things that have happened, but I'll explain those to the numbers. It's mainly in fire. The thing that came up during different conversations at finance through the years and here at the board was the desire to understand what we are going to now call unassigned cash. I'll get into that a little bit more visually here in just a moment. But it basically refers to cash on hand or in a bank account that is not designated, restricted, or allocated for a specific purpose. and that, you know, legally the board or the district has the ability to spend that the way it sees fit. Typically, that's been, we have always accounted for it, you know, but it has never been identified in our documents of how much that money of that money there was. And so working with Laura and Adrian, we, you know, we came up with the unassigned cash designation, and that this is basically what it looks like by fund. And basically what we have is we've always shown what our cash is. That means all our cash assets in investments, bank accounts, et cetera. And so that's something we have shown on our balance sheet month after month for several years now. What we didn't show is, okay, what's our running balance in our reserves? And so that's now going to be listed. And then the difference of those numbers is what unassigned cash is. I did want to point out in Fund 301, it does not include the overpayment. And we'll see that overpayment in another slide or two here. So this was where we were as December 31st, 2024. Any questions on what we're calling unassigned cash? Because
I do, Ron. And I'm not really familiar with past history, but I hear every now and then people talk about the money that was collected for the pool that they wanted to put in. Does that have anything to do with unassigned cash?
That is all in our Fund 900. And so if you go to Fund 900, that is, I think it's in a restricted reserve, and that board has the discretion to use it, but they've also in the past replenished it.
The pool money has been and continues to be accounted for. The step-by-step part of it, we have memorialized in a binder in Ron's office.
Okay. If you want interesting reading,
about every 3 years. So so the where the money is it's in our parks fund.
Yeah, that's the one thing I hear every now and then from people is, you know, where did that money go?
Sure. No. And Matthew is correct.
Right there.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
See, on that $300,000 to $348,000, yep. That's pool money.
Okay.
And the way it got there is documented in that binder. It's good to look through at least once just to answer that question, because I got the same thing.
Okay.
A bunch. So.
All right. Thank you.
So we'll go through the reserves on the things that we made the December 5th adjustments on. The first one is in Fund 100, we have just one reserve, now general contingency. We had a couple. So here it shows the fund cash summary. Our reserve goal now is 50,000. That's really for computers and other things that support all operations in the district. Current reserve amount is 43,000 that's sitting there.
Like a new clock? Did we get a new clock?
Yeah, that came out of reserve. No, I'm just kidding. that was unassigned cash.
Okay.
So we have 43,000 in unassigned cash in our current reserve. The unassigned cash is 136,000-ish. And we're not recommending any addition. We'll do that as part of our budget process, which is coming up fast here. And on all of these unassigned cash, we're going to work on a percentage of what should be kept for each fund. And they're all a little bit different. For instance, water gets revenue every month coming through from water sales. But we have a lot of expenses, you know, big capital expenses. Versus fire, where for the first 6 months of the fiscal year, we have no income coming in. It all starts coming in around January, February, and then by the end of the fiscal year, we're whole. So we need probably more cash available for operational purposes. So that'll be coming back. That's not part of this. So this is to just show you where we're at currently, and that we'll come back with a recommendation based on our cash flow analysis on what percentage of unassigned cash can actually then be moved into reserves by the board. This one was, we had a discussion about, we paid cash for our last two vehicles, one being the fire engine and the other being a utility truck. We wanted to take the fire engine money out from our sinking fund. And if, I know, Tom and Rich, you may not be familiar with the sinking fund, but basically it's a Excel spreadsheet that shows how much money we need to sock away each year to be able to afford to replace any of our vehicles as they come up on the replacement schedule. So we want to keep that sinking fund as accurate as possible, because for the board and staff to understand where are we standing, because we saw a big increase in fire truck costs. And we're going to probably see next time we purchase an even larger one. So having a true sinking fund, you know, amount that we can show the board, public, and keep staff on target on what we need. We feel we'll take this out of our reserve. It'll go into unassigned cash, and I'll show you that in a moment. And this was a mistake I made at finance on that one table, and I'll point that out when we get there. So this is for the vehicle reserve, what we're proposing. Capital outlay, we finally received the County Cal Fire $1.2 million, just hair under $1.2 million, for the overpayment. So we know we have some large expenses coming up on the fire station one way or another, in whatever direction we go on that. So we're proposing moving that into capital outlay. That'll bolster that up quite a bit because it is low. And we're no recommendation on general contingency here. It's fully funded at 15% of what we estimate our operation maintenance budget is right now. So the way that kind of all shakes out is, if you, we have our December 31st number, then we have our Cal Fire overpayment. So we're really at that $5.7 million. Our unassigned cash right now is $1.86 million. We add the almost $2 million to that, plus we're pulling out of the reserve restricted money and moving it to unassigned. So that gives us that $3.9 million. And this is where I made the math error. I had the $862,000 down in the deduction in the reserve. So this is straightening out all that. The net result, though, is impressive. We have about $2.7 million in unassigned cash, which to me says we can even move more into capital outlay at the budget time if that's the board's desire.
Good to know.
Yeah, good cash flow there. Any questions on fire? Because that was a little more complicated.
All right, not seeing any.
Okay. Water's very straightforward. If you recall, we had these three reserves that really hadn't been used, weren't going to be used, and the board voted to eliminate those. That comes to about $200,000. So then where does that money move? It was suggested that we top off the rate stabilization fund. It just needs to be at 10% of operation and maintenance where am I here? Current reserve, new, oh, 185,000. Sorry, getting the numbers there. That we only needed the $26,500 to make that whole. So we moved that amount and we're good at rate stabilization. And then basically the general contingency is fine. It's moving along fine. It's not fully funded, but it's at a substantial amount. So we're not recommending any change there. And then finally moving the balance of that 200,000 plus over to capital outlay, which will then bring it up to that $2.1 million amount. And then finally, here's, it's got about $975,000 in it. And considering how much cash we move through this, like when we're doing our projects, that may be a good amount to have on hand for unassigned cash. But again, we'll be looking at that a little more literally here in near future. And then finally, solid waste. We established $200,000 reserve goal. This is showing nothing right now because even though we have budgeted $100,000 for this year, it just hadn't been moved. So, you know, think there's $100,000 there. And what we'll do next fiscal year is put the other $100,000 in and call that one whole. So really no change at this time, but you'll be seeing that. Any questions on that? Otherwise, that's the full number gamut gauntlet.
All right. Any questions from the board? Looks good to me.
No, good, great presentation. Thank you for working through all of this.
Yes, and thank everybody on our team too.
Yeah, it's great. And it's all painting a really healthy picture.
Yes. So.
All right. Who's going to step up?
All right. Public comment first.
Public comment. Oh, all right. Let's open up for public comment. Thank you. I've gotten that twice now.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom. There's none online.
All right. None in the boardroom. All right. Now do I?
I move that the board approve the fiscal year 24-25 mid-year adjustment request as presented for funds 100, 301, 500, 650, 800, and 900, and approve the recommended fiscal year 2024-25 fund reserve change for funds 301 and 500 as presented.
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Moving on. Revised intent will serve letter for water service process.
Okay. Just a little bit of background on this before we get into it. I just have a few slides on this. You know, staff recognize that the approval of the community plan update and the habitat conservation plan and the amendments made to the growth management ordinance, we should really take a look at our intent will serve process since it hadn't really been changed since 2002. So it's been around a while. I think since I've been here, we did issue one over on Mountain View, but had to really figure out how to do it. So anyway, this was an opportunity to revise and update. So I reached out to county staff to review their application process, and this included the coastal development permit application process, because I was getting feedback that they require some sort of indication from the water purveyor, not just us, that they intend to serve. Our process would it didn't work that way, and I'll get into that in a minute. But so anyway, we were trying to find out how to if we could make our procedures more efficient for everybody, for us and for any future applicants. I already stated that ours hasn't been updated since 2002, but this is one of the key points is the current process requires the board to approve every intent to serve letter, which is time consuming. So we're going to propose a change on that. And I did want to point out that the Utility Advisory Committee did discuss this at three separate meetings. And the main thing, and we'll be looking at that in the next slide, I believe, is the policy, because that's really kind of the driver behind all this. You know, the steps are one thing, but the policy on how we do it is the most important. So the significant revisions are that we're recommending is that annually the board receive a report on the water supply and make findings to approve or deny receiving applications for new water service in the upcoming calendar year, and that the board and that would determine if the board would accept applications, and that single family and duplex projects, smaller, what we'd call more routine projects, be considered or not require board approval. And that because of the findings the board would make that, okay, these, you know, smaller projects can move forward, that we make that administratively easier for the applicants and for staff and the board. But if it's a triplex or larger multifamily or a commercial project, those would still be coming back to you for approval because they're typically a little more complicated or imply more water use.
So I think there's one where they're going to build
stages. So what if it's supposed to be like a triplex in the future, but they can only build one now?
It'd still have to come.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we'd have to issue an intent to serve for the whole project.
Okay.
Right.
I was curious.
Good question, though. Okay, I know a lot of words here, so you can read it in your pack, and I apologize for you folks in the boardroom on this. But it's just basically stating that we're committed to establish safe drinking water and reliable water service toward the properties within our district. Now, to ensure the availability of water supply to serve new development annually, the board of directors will consider approving findings based on the criteria in our water shortage contingency plan, which we recently updated, and the recommendations and information contained in the Basin Management Committee's annual groundwater report regarding the ability of the groundwater basin to support new development. This was added, and this was we had a lot of discussion on how to word this, because in the new growth management ordinance world at the county, annually, it's written that annually the BMC is to make a recommendation to the county on water supply. So I believe, and the county doesn't have to do anything with that information. I mean, they can accept it or not. But I think if we take that same information, and depending on what the recommendation is from the Basin Management Committee, use that as in our findings, it gives us more control. I know representatives from S&T are here tonight to hear what the board has to say. The outlier is, you know, Golden State, and it's because of their regulations and processes. They're not as nimble on implementing, you know, a moratorium, basically. But they're working on that. But anyway, this is where I think it gives the board total control. I think it's important that staff now and into the future provide these water reports because they're of our water supply situation. And this would be our kind of check and balance on the intent will serve process. So to go a little bit further, this in the proposed procedures, this is in the report as well, that, you know, that general manager will present the report summarizing the climatic conditions and previous rainy season, the basin metrics and recommendations from the BMC in their annual report. And then based on these, that's when the board decides to move forward or not. If you do decide to move forward with new development on any given year, the district will only provide water service to projects that are complied with all the terms and conditions, rules and regulations of the district and other jurisdictions, mainly the county.
Does this mean we could be on a different page than the county?
Yeah. We've always been independent. I mean, when we were in our stage three, okay, and our stage three said no new water connections, that's it. Our hope is that we're not, you know, and that's where we've been trying to build that relationship to where we're on the same page, but there is that potential.
As recently as the community plan effort, you know, we weren't really part of the discussions with the coastal staff about the 1%. And so it wasn't until the growth management ordinance gave us an opportunity to really let the county know where we were coming from. And that's where we wound up with the 0.4%. So, no, we don't always see eye to eye.
I'll continue on unless you have something to say, because this is really kind of the meat of what I'm presenting tonight. So I can wrap it up here and we can come back to this if there's questions. So basically what we did is we developed a new application for service and guidelines for those, did a step-by-step guidance document, to step new applicants, developers through, and then a brand new form. So we have three basically new forms and guidance documents to help applicants through the process. And the big one, and this is going to be something I'll be bringing to you next for next fiscal year's budget, is a connection fee study. We can update our fees. There's in our fee schedules, there's things that are related to our staff time, which haven't been updated, which don't reflect new, you know, new salaries and costs that the district incurs for this. But there's also our actual physical connection fee that needs to be updated. And I want to bring in a consultant to do that.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. And I believe that's all I have. So any questions from the board on what we're trying to achieve here? And Chuck, please weigh in because UAC did spend quite a bit of time on this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And the, I mean, it was it's kind of a twofold thing. We wanted to make sure that we dovetail process with the county. We don't want to make things any more complicated for permit applicants than needs to be. But we also, as you mentioned, we want independent thought and decision-making. And so I think this gives us both opportunity for both.
I know I appreciate the effort that's gone into thinking that through, and I appreciate, like, I am totally with that. I think the comments I have some questions in and around the procedures,
mm-hmm.
And in and around the fee schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring those up.
Okay.
I guess. I was hoping maybe you could help walk through the procedure summary. Like, that's basically the process to follow. When I go through it, and I haven't been involved in it, but it feels like there's repetitive steps a little bit.
Did you find or point out, underline those things?
Well, I think the part that I want to really, I'm curious about is just, okay, so we're asking for three sets of plans.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to review those? Because you were talking about how there's somebody's reviewing the plans and providing markups, red lines.
Well,
a plan review process, right?
You know, one will be me, and then Margaret and Water Crew will look at them. And I'm still not sure about fire, if it's going to be our local station or is it going to be Cal Fire?
Well, at the county side of it,
mm-hmm.
so they typically take four sets of plans.
Mm-hmm.
So one for planning, building, public works, and the fourth goes to Cal Fire. Now, that usually gets not routed to like a local station. It's usually routed to their main office. Okay. And then they have, the person's name. He's been here before.
Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin.
I forget his last name.
Mm-hmm. So that was another one of my comments is in and around Cal Fire, because we're talking about needing Cal Fire approval, but I know that's part of the building permit process. Right.
Well, what I would suggest on these is if you have comments, these don't have to be like adopted by the board. We can work through those. Because this was my best take on it,
mm-hmm.
based on what I'd read from other.
And is it like to dovetail with the county's process a little bit? Because I know they have a bunch of different steps now too.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is just like basically what we think we might need.
Yes. Okay. And so if you think something doesn't look right, we can talk about those and adjust those.
Yeah. I think that it would be great to kind of go through this in a little more detail. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm noticing like that what I'm foreseeing is it taking a bunch of staff time to go through these. And I'm, you know, we're going to charge, it looks like $750 to do that.
Well, this is what we got to revise. This is from 2002. It may have been updated somewhere after that, but I'm in fact, you know, this one says May 2021. We may have upped, you know, some of this. I don't recall. I'd have to go back and look, but I have a feeling that it was the last time we looked at it.
Okay.
And that might have been right around the time we provided an intent to serve letter.
Right. Okay. So I guess my concern is just around staffing, how we're going to deal with this, and whose time, and exactly, and how we're going to make sure that that time is accounted for.
Right. And, you know, what we don't have is a history, because we've been under a moratorium for so long. You know, some of this will change. You know, the policy and the process to get to an intent to serve, I think, is our biggest concern tonight. But I think this what you're talking about is going to be a work in progress. And I totally recognize some of these fees, like I said, we can adjust. And don't we bring fees once a year? Yeah. for other things we do.
These are the fees that are in place.
Those are the approved fees.
That's what we have.
And the board has to approve the fees. We just can't randomly do that as staff.
Right. Yeah. And okay, so none of these fees are updated with like cost for meters or new water service connections or anything since everything went up by double.
Right.
Okay.
And it's really that the connection fee should be a capacity and connection fee because new development needs to buy into the system. But there's definitely very strict regulation on how those fees are calculated. That's why consultants are best for that.
Okay.
So I haven't kept up with it enough to do it myself.
So when we approve this policy and procedures, it's going to include those fees for now, and we can we'll get a chance to revisit those.
Yes.
But when will that be?
Probably with the next budget. Don't we do it around budget time, fiscal year time?
Okay.
Yeah.
So mid-year, basically.
Right. Okay. Well, July 1, we'll have them. We'll probably have them for you in May or June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm 100% in proposal of this, in favor of it. I'd like to just make the caveat that we look at this procedure summary a little bit.
Yeah. If you want to mark one up. Okay. If you have some questions, and then write it down.
I kind of live by these things, and
Well, I'd appreciate your input.
That'd be helpful, I think, to go through it a little bit.
Because, like I said, those are things we can just change the procedures.
Yeah,
but fees we can't, and policy I can't. You know, that's you guys.
Yeah, well, I definitely want us to look at those fees.
Okay. I agree.
And make sure that we're staying whole as this thing keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, with that,
public
comment. Take public comment.
Yeah.
are there any board comments?
I'd just like to acknowledge the value of having real world experience on the board.
Yep.
People can ask questions about the real situation going on as you process permits today.
All right, let's open it up for public comment then. Thanks.
If you're online, raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Okay. Nobody online? Okay. Hi, you guys. I'm Julie McAdon. I'm the president of S&T Mutual Water Company. And I just want to applaud you guys for the work that you're doing here tonight and that Ron has done. And we appreciate all the research and time that has gone into developing this WillServe. And we will follow your lead. And adopt whatever you guys adopt, because I think it's a good policy to actually have data informing decisions about water usage. Okay. All right. That's
Thank
it.
You.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Beth Renicki with S&T Mutual also, and I just have a few comments. I think this is awesome. Thank you, Ron, for putting this together. And considering our basin and all of these decisions as we move forward a lot faster than maybe we were planning. But one thing I do want to ask, so Title 19 credits, so when the Coastal Commission approved our growth management ordinance, the Title 19 was not necessarily included in it. And I'm just wondering if the policy might mention that also as like a side requirement, just the assurance that that could be. I don't know if that's something you've thought about. And then also, is there going to be, so right now the Basin Management Committee is really relying on just one metric, the sustainable yield and the basin yield. So the percentage of the sustainable yield that we're using, are you going to consider other metrics, maybe the chloride metric or the water level or anything like that, in addition to as part of your review each year? And lastly, so I did meet with the county, and Ron was there, and we had mentioned maybe Golden State and S&T and the CSD coming together and cohesively coming up with maybe the connection fees. I think that's a really great idea. I think S&T maybe on the higher end. I don't know if we have a choice just because the impact to our system is going to be a little bit more severe. But I would really like to have all of us cohesively approach this WillServe process. I think that's important. And so this is just something that I learned on Friday at the meeting, was that the county is overseeing anything outside the prohibition zone. So that means that they may be on a different tract if they're allowing buildings. That's just something to keep in mind and consider. You could have two separate policies from the water purveyors versus the county. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions and comments. Do we have any?
Yeah, let me address.
Oh, wait, is Richard coming? Oh. Well, let's keep.
Sorry.
I'm just going to follow up on Title 19. I don't know if it can be incorporated into this at all, but we're hearing that the contractors are having a hell of a time trying to figure out how they're going to get those credits. And Bruce has stated in the past, well, when we get to that point where they maybe don't have enough or we've run out, then we'll address it at that point. And that, in county language, that means it's going to go by the wayside. And that's a 2-to-1 offset. So I don't know if it can be added in here, but I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, now I'll close public comment, and Ron can address some of questions.
Real quick on some of Beth's questions, which are really good. In the actual application, number 13, I did put in a reference, goes, applicants are responsible for understanding complying with San Luis Obispo County new development requirements for Los Osos, including but not limited to provisions from County Code 2601070, that's the growth management ordinance, 1907.0428, which is the offset requirements. So I don't specifically say offset requirements. And the other thing that, in the intent to serve, you agencies have the ability to put conditions, and that will be explicit in the conditions that we provide as well. Then the metrics, this is going to be, we'll have to figure out how the, I'm hoping, and this, our representatives here, are that the metrics, all the metrics are used in determining what the BMC's recommendation is. But I think that's a process we're going to have to still work through, since it's new, but a very good point as well. And you're correct, we had talked about a basin-wide connection fee. It could be something on top of what we need. That applies towards implementation of the basin plan. Again, that's something that I know Golden State would really appreciate as well in our conversations. So, really good points, Beth. Thank you. Richard's absolutely right. We've already heard the rumblings about being able to collect offset credits, and so there's going to be a little more discussion on that as well.
What did Beth mean about the inside and the outside of the PZ? I didn't catch that part. I'm curious about it.
For, we purveyors, the prohibition, step back, the prohibition zone has sort of gone away with the way the growth management ordinance is now managed. They've opened up the prohibition zone, and it's put limits on outside the old prohibition zone. Everything falls under the growth management ordinance. And so there's only X amount of permits available to that area versus inside. So there is some limitations, but the county is, let's say all the purveyors say, well, the BMC says we shouldn't be, issuing permits, or that the basin's in stress and we're not going to issue anymore. The county still theoretically could, because that's in their jurisdiction, so to speak.
I'm not following.
We don't have control over that, and the BMC doesn't have control over it.
Control over outside of the old prohibition.
Yeah,
basically.
Right. Okay. Correct. Again, though, I want to try to stay optimistic that we're creating a relationship with the county that will be in agreement, but there is that chance, as Chuck said, where we haven't been and we've had to kind of respond.
All right. Any further questions or comments? Do I hear a motion?
Yes, I move that the board approve the revised intent will serve letter policy and procedures.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Thank you. Possible nominations for the IWMA board district seat.
I'm back. LAFCO was last month. And this is a similar request that we received from LAFCO, that you know they're looking for a special district representation on the IWMA board. The special districts that have solid waste authority are the only ones that can nominate and actually vote. So I think there, I believe that the number's 12 in the county. So anyway, I felt in our obligation to the IWMA, since we're members, I would bring this to you to see if there's anyone that would be interested. There's nomination form due by February 17th. We do not have to, just like LAFCO, but if the board's compelled to offer up a nominee, I do have a recommendation that can be used.
Anyone interested? Doesn't look like it. Is somebody else from another?
Yeah, there's several.
Okay, so it won't go on.
No, it won't.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking we're not nominating anyone.
Okay, then we'll just take public comment and we'll move on.
All right. We'll open this item up for public comment.
If you're online, raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There's none online.
Okay.
Hey, we've already done this one. I thought I moved it up, but I didn't. So
we are going to move to administrative and committee reports.
Yeah. I guess I'm up.
Yes.
Are you guys tired of missing?
Lost my tab. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you.
Yep.
Right, and that's just written. So here we go. Okay. I don't really have any major updates on the utilities report. We are moving forward with SCADA. There it is. Program CWELL is on target, and our monitoring well should be completed tomorrow, two monitoring well rehabs. So we're doing well there. Sorry for that. On my GM report, I did have the Sunnyside School property sale. I really kind of kept it at a high level because until this morning, we didn't really have any other information to share. Bruce had mentioned the partnership. We agreed and have talked that, you know, if the community really has these desires, it really needs to step up and help support it financially. As Bruce mentioned, LOCAC, mainly Deborah Howe, has been pushing to organize a town hall meeting on this. The information we received this morning has kind of pushed that along quicker than we had anticipated. I don't have any specifics. We talked about a February 22nd town hall meeting. Mm-hmm. That's a Saturday in an effort to get, the families out, the youth sports, and all the other pickleballers and everyone else to come in and participate and get the information similar to what Bruce provided tonight, but some and others, because we have quite a pretty comprehensive list of what the desires are, because LOCAC, and I've been participating in those meetings, have brought in quite a few of the groups, and we've been able to communicate fairly well with the active recreation needs for the community. So it's all going to move quite quickly. I don't know if you want to add any specifics, Matthew.
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of understand where this is at. I think we all kind of generally have known that this has been kind of smoldering in the background that the county has been supposedly talking to the school district. The school district wants to divest that property. What we know from what's going on right now is that that 60 days is in place. So it's kind of emphasizing the need to act quickly. Bruce is trying very diligently to get the support of the other supervisors for this project. At the same time, the county is going through a complete reorganization.
They call it rebalancing.
Rebalancing. And there's just not a large appetite to spend much money. It sounds like the county is potentially able to provide some financial help. And certainly they have a lot of resources that can be very useful. But the CSD is going to have to be part of the solution and part of the negotiations and deal. And like Ron said, ultimately where the rubber meets the road is that however this is figured out, you know, whatever we want to eventually for Sunnyside to potentially be, and there's a cost to acquire it, and then there's an operation and maintenance piece. We need to, as a district, discuss, you know, what we're willing to work towards, because if I think the ask on us is to shoulder quite a bit of this responsibility, which is going to change a lot of things here at the district. I mean, that's going to add whole parts of this organization that we don't currently have. The point of the town hall is to come up with some deliverables, i.e. The community has been consulted, the needs have been expressed, they've been put together on a deliverable, like a similar to the conceptual site plan that we did for the dog park. Something that can go to the other supervisors and help convince them that they should support this. So that's what we really need to be focused on in the next, I mean, it's just a few weeks. And I think we're gonna need some help to do that, some professional help to put this all together, have something shiny and cohesive to present. And I think that we're probably gonna need to have a special meeting about this. Really, really soon, because we're still learning little pieces, but the time to engage into this is pretty much now, and we're going to have to have our own discussions about real property negotiations and what this board's appetite is to participate.
What kind of information did you get about operating expenses versus current revenues? I mean, is there any of that available?
No, there's not.
School district isn't providing. I mean,
what we've been told is that Matt Pontus is working to get that information for them.
Okay.
We talked about cash flow, and I think we're going to need to have a big discussion about that, because there's chunks of money that we're going to need, and then there's ongoing O&M that we're going to have to be able to collect. And, you know, how do we finance that, or how do we ask for loans, et cetera? So there's a finance piece eventually, but right now it's the main focus is can we help Bruce persuade the rest of the board of supervisors that this needs to happen.
It seems like that's such a basic piece of information that I would need to even want to get behind this. I mean, does the school district lose $1 million a year on Sunnyside? Do they break even? I mean, what's the even a starting point?
Yeah, I had a call in on the cash flow, and actually, I had some unknown 805 numbers, so maybe they did try to get back to me, but I don't know. But have contact.
The scammers are getting so good about using local numbers anymore that you can't trust.
My number's not local, and so that's what I use.
Okay.
But these are some 805s.
Okay.
Like maybe I should have picked that up.
Yeah, because that's just a very basic.
Yeah.
And we need to know what kind of lift we're going to have to come up with.
Well, I think a big part is that town hall, like, because really the community has to buy in. The community wants to.
But the community needs some information to know.
I agree. But it's not like just our decision. It's really
right.
The community has to.
Right.
Enough of the community has to buy in. Yeah.
What was the reason the school district wanted to divest that property in the first place? Does anyone know that?
They're divesting all of their unused school sites. So it's not just here. It's Morrow Elementary, Morrow Bay also.
Unused?
Well, not by them, by the district. They don't have classes there.
Mm.
You know, everything is...
Decrease in children, you know, grade school age kids.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's kind of where things... have laid and yeah, so kind of the ask of the district right now is to present this to the community in an effective way and capture the community's thoughts and ideas and interests in a conceptual plan that can be communicated to board of supervisors and gauge. And meanwhile, and also be gauging our community support for the potential of them helping to pay for this.
So can we get a plan like we did for the park? Is that what you're saying we should do?
Well, what we think, you know, Ron and I have talked a little about this morning and with Deborah, is what we think we should do is try to get the services of Ann Siever, who helped us with the dog park,
mm-hmm.
put that together in a really cohesive way, which, you know, we got to go from all these different ideas to something on paper or
put the poster board as well.
And so I know Ron's already reached out to her to make contact and let her know this is potentially forthcoming, but yeah, like at some point we need to sit and
so we have not a lot of time and not very much information.
Should we perhaps like make an ad hoc committee or a full-on committee or whatever is appropriate within the next month? What would be the steps we need to take to organize our thoughts in something cohesive?
Well, the steps to be able to support, you know, what's being asked of us from the county right now is to put together this town hall and present the possibilities, get the get a vision down on paper and present it in a way that can be readily digested. Like we have something, we have our ideas out. It's not just a free-for-all. And then from that start. That piece is pretty important too, because we're going to have to start putting dollars to, you know, you want a pickleball court, how much does the pickleball court cost, the dog park costs? Because it's not just the money to purchase the property, it's the vision and the full build out. So that's our first step. And to do that in the timeline, we really need to be working on that like next week. So when I'm saying like having another meeting on just this, I think it would behoove us to potentially do that sometime next week if possible in a special meeting. And then there's a whole side of contracts and how we enter into things. And because it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of pieces, it sounds like.
Yes.
All right, thank you for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think there's a lot of engagement with the board and the community on this, so I think we should.
I'm okay with taking public comment out of turn if you want to have your 3 minutes.
If you're online and you want to make public comment on agenda item 5B, please raise your hand.
I just ask because this is all fresh, and by the time you get through everything else, and then we get the public comment on all the items. I kind of agree with Chuck that I think it's a great idea, but we're talking major money. And if the county's not willing to, you know, as the county even offered to maybe allow the purchase to be financed through them over time with payments, are we looking at a special assessment, almost like the fire tax, to pay for the ongoing maintenance? And you know, somebody's going to have to be, you know, it can't just sit there unsupervised. So there's going to be employees, there's going to be, you know, and then the other concern or the other situation is, do we have an evaluation from anybody at the school district or the county on the condition of the buildings on the property right now and what deferred maintenance might be required down the road if some of them are kept or all of them are kept or whatever? And the infrastructure, as far as utility infrastructure. I mean, I know this has got to move along quick, but you're talking, well, the cost, if I'm not mistaken, isn't the cost of the property $5 million or around $5 million they're looking for? Yeah, okay. So that's right off the top. And then you're talking multi-millions to get to where the community might want to be. And I'm sure the recreation community is going to be behind it, but there's another whole faction of the community that isn't going to want an increase in anything, that won't vote for an increase in anything unless it's emergency services, or that's probably about it. This is an elderly community. Just things to think about. I'm all for it. Anything we can do from our side, you know, I'm willing to help from the people helping people side or on my side, but 60 days to have all this information and actually have some numbers, I think it's going to be really interesting.
Thank you. Anyone else? We have another.
There is one more.
All right, Andrea, you just have to unmute yourself.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's hurtful.
Tom's being funny.
Okay, good. This is Andrea Luker, longtime resident of Los Osos. Just a couple of random comments. First of all, the county just recently spent $5 million on the Bob Jones bike trail. And one of the questions that that came up at the Los Osos LOCAC meeting the other day to Mr. Gibson was, is there additional funding from the fund that you used for that, which is public facilities? And the answer was there could be. So I think that's a valid question that we have. I didn't hear the discussion about the 60 days, but that almost seems like a recipe for disaster if we have 60 days to come up with some sort of plan for this. I'm absolutely supportive of having a special meeting and grabbing the Rec and Park Committee from the CSD to be part of that. One other point, you know, I appreciate Mr. Morganson's comment about the elderly community, but we are kind of a new community these days, and we have a lot of young people. So I'm not sure that we want to write off anything just because we're an elderly community anymore, because I think we're changing that demographic. So I think that's it for now. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Andrea. Anyone else? Okay. I'll bring it back to the board.
Well, I just want to maybe respond to a little of that. All of those same questions have been asked. Information is forthcoming. I also want to point out that the 60 days isn't to, here's the deal, yes or no, 60 days. It's 60 days to enter into negotiations. Where we're at right now as a community is, it would be really great if we could get the Board of Supervisors on board to help be a partner through these through this negotiation and through this process, which is not going to happen quickly. It's going to take a while. So what our task is to see if we can help the board of supervisors get behind entering into these negotiations by showing in good faith that we are willing, if we're willing to be partners in this, that's a likely scenario to get their support. So that's really the ask, like, right now. With the caveat, yes, there's a lot of unknowns and we have a lot of questions to answer. And there's going to be a lot of analysis, I would imagine.
So we have like 60 days to sort of prove conceptually, at least broad, that this would be a good investment for both us and the county to work together.
Well, I think we're submitting some sort of like interest in purchasing the property. Like, it's open to public agencies first. Am I understanding that correct? So that's what the deadline, the 60 days is,
which
to
is,
say
is in
we're interested.
Yeah. Because it started in mid-January. So that's mid-March.
December 17th, right?
And really what our task, the ask of us right now, is to do everything we can to support the February 25th Board of Supervisors meeting, where they're going to talk. It's on there, going to be on their agenda in closed session. And what we're trying to do is show that if we're willing, that we can be partners in this endeavor to secure this for the community, which, right, I mean, we all know in this room why that's important. I can say some of it out loud. It's in our community plan that, you know, we only have 6.2 acres of parkland in Los Osos. The criteria is 3 acres per 1,000 people. That's like 40 something acres of park. And in the community plan, it talks about, well, you're deficient in parks, but you have open de facto parkland. And one of that is the public schools. And obviously Sunnyside's a huge part of that. It's used for everything from a dog park to a pickleball court to basketball, and the girls even practice softball down there, but they don't use the outfield. So it's obviously an important thing. I think there's broad community support. Deborah's done a lot of legwork with the sports leagues and the community at large, LOCAC, to get that to gel together, and that's really what the town hall's about. So our piece in that could be to provide some professional guidance and support, because we have our fund 900 with funds in it that we could use to help organize all of these thoughts and put it into something that can get presented.
So should we schedule a meeting for next week?
We need information to have a meeting. I mean, I think we're all for this, but I don't see a point in scheduling a special meeting without some basic information from the school district. Maybe if school district wants to send a representative to our special meeting, but we're all behind it. But we need to know what we're behind. And I mean, this is a serious lift. You're talking about a serious investment from the community. And I know we got to move in a hurry, and I'm willing to have a special meeting next week if we need one, but and dedicated just to this. I really don't want to, because it's going to take a lot of question and answer, I think.
It's going to. And I mean, I think that we will have more information,
hopefully.
And I also think that, you know, this is basically a real property matter that we need to seriously flesh out all of those pieces of everything we do know, everything we don't know. And engage, you know, where this board is as far as supporting and starting to spend some money on it. I think that's maybe the bigger thing, is the ability to start spending some money on a consultant to help. I mean, to otherwise we're going to basically be asking them to do that.
Oh, so is that like what the special meeting would be? Is to hire a consultant? We could. Like, if we're doing a special meeting, what information or what's our goal going to be?
It would be to hire a consultant, basically.
Okay, so we can have a special meeting for that. We don't have to have all the information.
I just have to find that consultant.
Designing a special meeting could
do what? What would a consultant be?
It would be like the dog park where we have.
But without. Okay, I guess I would like this board to know before we launch into that what the uses are up at the school. I don't even know what functions occur there now.
That's a fairly easy one to do.
Okay, but that's all got to be part of that.
Well, I think that's what, I mean, unless we're going to do that right now, but I don't know that this is.
No, I don't think this is
the right agenda item for it.
No.
That is what the meeting needs to be about, because there is a huge amount of effort and work that's gone in, you know, with, especially with Deborah and that joint committee to figure out what these interests are, what that, I mean, generally those concepts are known, but it needs to be put together. It needs to have some costs behind it that are meaningful. I mean, you know that from the PM, you've got to know what it's generally what we're looking at. And we need to do that quickly. And that's why, I mean, I suggested that wholeheartedly is to get some outside help, because we're looking at trying to, prepare for a town hall meeting. That's very important, in the next few weeks.
I wonder if it can be like in phases or something, like stuff we can do over time, or like pickleball. I'm pretty sure they might raise their own money as long as they have the place to put the pickleball. Like,
for sure. And that's part of that town hall and how that needs to be structured.
So you are looking at a consultant to have us have a plan prepared for the town hall?
Yes.
It'd okay. be a high level concept.
Okay. Well, that
and it
took us a long time to get to that point. But if that's what's needed for the town hall to make that successful, then let's, because we're not talking six figures for that kind of thing.
But generally, I think that we need to have that time to chase this whole thing out and get to, where are we as a board?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, they have an assessment. That was all done. Good point. Do I have direction to solicit a special meeting next week? It's really contingent.
Try to find somebody. And if you find somebody, then we will have a special meeting. What does the Thursday work?
Sure.
Well,
what day do you want to do it?
I would say that even if that is not sorted out, we still need to discuss like where the board's at before our March meeting and go through the whole process about everything that's known, the questions that this board wants answered, so we can go get that stuff. Like, we need to have that discussion.
Okay.
I think that's fair, and
I give you direction to try to find somebody and to schedule a meeting for us to discuss this
good
further.
Good question. What's a good night?
Yeah, does Thursday work?
Thursday the
13th. Yeah. Wait, do we have anything else on Thursday, or that's the week after?
That's the week after.
Okay. Don't want to double book something. Okay. And then if you need to change that date, just let us communicate.
Okay.
All right. What's next?
The only other thing I wanted to mention, because it's important, is the GM report is that we are able now to start our solid waste collection customer assistance program.
Nice.
Laura worked very hard on this and has put together the application. We're going to be starting to push out the information, and we'll have more details available for the public here soon.
What's the parameters?
We
don't know yet.
Yeah, the application has it's like what's the food stamp program called now? CalFresh.
Okay, there's, if you're certain, on one of those,
on certain things that will qualify you by your income level based on those programs.
Okay, and it's something that people can apply to on our website.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Wonderful.
Other than that, you can read the rest of my team report. I do have contract negotiations with CalFire tomorrow morning or afternoon. It was supposed to have been earlier this week.
Well, good times.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted.
All right, thank you. All right, what do we got? Any utilities advisory committee?
Oh, we talked about the intent to serve enough tonight. Okay. I think the will serve. That was basically it. That and UAC our base management updates.
Okay, and Tom.
Most of everything we talked about at financial advisory went over with agenda items 3A.
All right. I guess we usually say they recommended to approve the warrants and.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And they approved the warrants and, you know, all the general stuff without controversy.
Okay.
Nothing. Right. Nothing controversial except for. Well, controversial is not the right word. You got it. Nothing new.
Okay.
The board owns everything already. Knows everything about it already.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks again for running it. While I was in Vegas. All right. Let's see. ESAC, Basin Management Committee.
You know, what we talked about this last meeting was the fall monitoring data that came out. And there were some not encouraging news about the chloride levels. But then again, it seems to be linked to that troublesome Rosina well that Golden State says is probably going to die soon anyway. It's kind of like our Palisades well. And so we're trying to figure out a way to maybe look at the chloride criteria without using that well, without, or maybe duplicate numbers with the well, without the well. We're working through that. And the other big news would be the transient model. First look at some of those early results will be coming out probably at the March meeting because the February meeting was just canceled. And that'll be interesting. It'll be a good turnout.
Put it on the calendar.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Any director's announcements of district and community interest reports on attendance in public meetings, training programs, conferences, seminars? Rich, you went to Fire Safe Council.
Oh, right? Yes. That's right. I'm sorry. I attended the Fire Safe Council last week or 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. And found out a lot of stuff about the Palisades fire. The insurance lady was there reporting on that. And at that point, it was only 19% contained. But now I guess they're saying all the fires are fully contained now. Though Cal Poly has a program there where they're trying to group a bunch of their people together to interact with each other as far as fire and the farming aspect and all that. I don't know if they've completed a building or if they were still talking about constructing a building for that. They're still constructing because it had artist renderings of what it was going to look like. Let me see. What else would I want to say about that? Of course, I can't find it in here, my notes.
That's right. We can find them.
Yeah, there. It was a lot of stuff that I obviously not really familiar with yet because I'm fairly new. So, yeah, it was very well attended by Cal Poly. They had a lot of their kids there, they seemed to be very interested in the fire safe thing. A lot of them were affected by the fires down south, so they definitely a wake up call about what needs to be done as far as preventing any kind of chaos that happens when a thing like that happens.
All right, thank you. We did the CSDA, right, Ron? Do you want to report on that one?
We had our annual dinner at Cafe Roma. Just going blank there for a second. The main guest speaker was the new CAO, Matt Pontes. Had an opportunity to really, I introduced myself after the dinner, but we had a chance to talk with him today. He was very engaging. In fact, at the meeting today, he was very helpful in trying to be creative. So anyway, the dinner was great, very well attended. Appreciate the board members that could make it. I'm really trying to support our local CSDA chapter. So I'll keep you guys informed. But that was the main thing, Matt Pontes.
Thank you. Anything else? All right, moving along. I don't believe we had any previously asked questions.
I think we've talked a lot about everything.
All right, let's open it up for public comment for items on the... Oh, does anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda? All right, I hear nothing. And then public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, raise your hand. There's no public comment on me.
Okay, I'll bring it back.
And I move that we receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
Seconded.
There's is there anything in there that requires a roll call?
Yes.
Oh, all right. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
President Womack.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Any future agenda items except for, I guess we have the park thing.
Can we have part of that as closed session as real property negotiations?
I guess theoretically, yes. I'm not sure. I'll have to speak with Ron about what might be the discussion and the context of that. But there is a Brown Act exception to hold a closed session on real property negotiations.
I think that there are aspects of the negotiation in between CSD and potentially the county that is not public information that I think needs to be discussed.
We just need to be able to fit that into price in terms of payment, which is probably what the county's closed session called out as well. Mm-hmm. So we just need to make sure that those are factors we can fit into that description of price in terms of payment. We'll try to do that when I get a little more information from Ron.
Okay.
All right. Sure. That's good. Any other agenda items? All right. Any closing board comments?
I'd like to just reiterate what I've read on Nextdoor is the positive feedback from having the stop signs on Santa Isabel constructed there at 7th Street and 11th Street. It seems to be very well accepted by the community, and I thank the county for getting that done. Also, there was a light that was replanted in front of Baywood Inn that I guess somebody had knocked down a while ago. And I don't know who was responsible for putting that back up, but it's one of those old style lantern light type things that it looks really nice. And also put some light on that corner there. So that was nice. And also in front of the, in front of Beerwood, somebody has constructed a dog treat a station there, which was, you know, I don't know who was responsible for that, but that was also a nice thing to do too. So it seems to be, well, so this is cleaning up a little bit and actually listening to the, you know, they're getting results from what they want to see. And I know the stop signs were a big thing.
All right. Anything else? All right. I don't think I have anything either. So I think we'll have a special meeting next week, regular. I guess we don't say when the next board member meeting is or.
No.
Okay. All right. I will adjourn this meeting. Thanks for everyone. All right, what did I miss from Bruce?